Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Oil India Q3 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Elara Securities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Reena Shah from Elara Securities Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Elara Capital, I welcome you all to the Q3 FY23 post-earnings conference call of Oil India Limited. We are pleased to have the senior management of Oil India Limited, led by Mr. Harish Madhav, Director of Finance, and Mr. Pankaj Kumar Goswami, Director of Operations, Dr. Manas Kumar Sharma, Director of Exploration and Development. At the outset, the management will brief on the results, and this will be followed by question and answers round. Now I request the Oil India management for their opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Good morning, friends. I'm Pankaj Kumar Goswami, Director of Operations, Oil India Limited. I welcome you all to the post Q3 financial year 2023 this earnings call. Actually, Director Finance Harish Madhav is not here as of now because of his some personal problem. In brief, I would like to highlight that the company's performance in the last quarter, both in physical parameters and financial front, has improved both quarter-to-quarter basis as well as on year-to-year basis. The company has declared 100% second interim dividend of rupees 10 per share for the financial year 2023, resulting in total dividend declared paid during the year to rupees 14.5 per share. With this, I would now request Sri Chandra Chaudhari, our ED Finance, for the opening remarks.
Thank you, sir. Good morning, dear friends. At the outset, I would like to thank Mrs. Elara Capital for organizing today's investors conference. Like, our Director of Operations, sir, Mr. Goswami, mentioned that Director of Finance, Mr. Harish Madhav, is unable to join us today due to bereavement in his family. The team is being led today by our Director of Operations, Mr. Pankaj Goswami. Now coming to the company's financial results for Q3 FY23, which were published on 10th February 2023. I will briefly give some indications about the performance of the company, both in physical and financial terms. Consolidated turnover of the company for the nine months ended 31st December has shown a record rise of 50%. That is going up to 32,821 crores from around 20,000 crores. The consolidated profit before tax for nine months ended 31st December 2022 is at 10,259 crores against 5,668 crores in the similar period last year. The consolidated profit after tax at the nine months ending 31st December 2022 stands at 7,874 crores against 4,191 crores, which is actually an increase of almost 88%. Coming to the standalone results and the production front, the crude production for Q3 is 0.807 MMT versus 0.75 MMT, which is an increase over the same period last year by over 7%. For the nine-month period, the increase is in excess of 5%. As far as natural gas is concerned, the Q3 FY23 is 806 MMSCM versus 793 million standard cubic meters for Q3 of FY22, which is an increase of around 2%. If we go on the nine-month basis, the increase is around 4%. On the financial side, the highest ever profit after tax is in Q3 FY23 on strength of better pricing, as you all know, and the higher output of gas and natural gas and crude oil, which I just mentioned. Debt for acquisition of additional shares of Enel has been fully repaid. Profit after tax for Q3 FY23 is 1746.10 crore versus 1244.9 crores in the same quarter last year. For the 9 months ending 31st December 2022, profit after tax recorded growth of over 120% to 5,022 crores versus 2,257 crores for the same period last year. The turnover has increased by 27%, which has gone up to, and for the 9 month period, has increased by about 63%. The earnings per share for Q3 has also increased to 16.1 per share, as these are already mentioned. The Board of Oil has declared a second interim dividend of rupees 10 per share, and this is in addition to the first interim dividend of rupees 4.5 per share, which was declared earlier. The total interim dividend declared during the year up to now is 14.5 per share, The financial performance of Numalgi Refinery, profit after tax of NRL for the 9 month period is 2,933 crores versus 2,429 crores for the 9 months last year. NRL GRM for the 9 month is $19.71 per barrel versus $10.43 per barrel in the corresponding period last year. EPS of NRL for the 9 month period is 19.94 rupees per share against 16.51 rupees per share for the 9 months last year. With this, with these opening remarks on the performance of the company, we are now open to the question and answer session. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star in one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Probal Sen from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Good morning, sirs. I had a couple of questions. One was that in our earlier few quarters, we have mentioned about slightly ambitious production goals for both oil and gas. In the context of the last few quarters' performance, is there any change to that guidance? Can we get a fresh guidance, let's say, for FY24 oil and gas as well as for FY25, if it's available?
Yeah. Very happy to announce that the performance of the company in terms of physical performance is also going up. As we have mentioned, from the last year, so there is a year-in-year growth in production in the front of both oil and gas. So this year we are supposed to get a production, crude oil production figure of 3.2 MMT and similarly also in the gas we will be achieving more than 3 BCM. So this was the target and as of now we are at par with the target. Similarly for the next financial year we have a target of 3.4 and probably with this progress we have a very good terminal production at the end of the year and we will be able to achieve that. So these are the milestones we have already set and we are actually in going in the line of the milestone, so we will be definitely achieving that.
Just to clarify, sir, 3.4 MT was for the oil and what's the target we have for gas production for FY24?
Gas production is also in the same line. It is 3.3 BCM.
Okay. Sir, on thank you for that. On the NRL performance, just wanted to clarify again that the GRM number mentioned is excluding the excise duty benefit, the $19.7 a barrel.
Yes.
And earlier you have indicated that the excise benefit is in the range of around $10 to $11 a barrel. Is my understanding correct?
Yes.
But then we haven't worked on figures exactly for this 9 months, but kind of that kind of a range, yes.
On an annualized basis, roughly that is what it works out to, correct?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay. Last question from my side, if I may. On an overall capex perspective, sir, a run rate of around what, 3,000 to 4,000 crore is expected to be sustained for the next few years?
Yeah, we expect to achieve it this year.
This is excluding whatever is NRL will be spending on their expansion plans, right?
NRL is separate.
NRL is separate. NRL is totally separate. This would of course include our investment part in NRL.
Including our equity contribution to that case.
Our equity contribution. Which won't be very much either. About maybe 500 to 600 crores of that.
What would be the consolidated debt on the book, sir? As on date?
Debt on the book with along with NRL.
Yeah.
As on date, it is around 17,500 crores.
17,500 crores. Thank you so much, sir. I'll come back if I have more questions. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Varatharajan Sivakrishnan Shankaran from Antic Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So any benefits we had on the auctioning front, both on oil and gas, did we get a higher realization on either? And what is the contribution of that higher realization in the last quarter?
Yes. Because of higher realization, higher production. These are the contributing factors. Price being a larger contribution. Sorry,
any numbers you can share, sir? What is the realization, higher realization you got vis-a-vis the benchmarks?
For the 9 months, the realization has been around $100 per barrel. Of course, this is subject to what we have to give as ACD. So, realization net is around $70 to $75 per barrel after the additional FSCD.
So, I was referring to the auction premium, any kind of running on the benchmark you got on account of auction, I know. And on what volumes?
Best of the issue, and we have our plans which will be unfolding in the next fiscal, because you see a lot of groundwork has to be done on this before we really take it forward, and we have to weigh out all the pros and cons. So taking everything into consideration, we expect to start the auction process next fiscal.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Nitin Tiwari from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is a bookkeeping one just with respect to your other operating expenses. So there is a sharp fall on a sequential basis versus the second quarter. So what is the reason for that?
Other operating expenses.
Yeah, it's about 113 crores versus 531 crores in the previous quarter.
Any other operating expenses can I
come this way? From 9 to 20. Just give me a moment. Other operating expenses has actually come down due to two reasons. One is that we had lesser well write-offs during the quarter. That is the major reason why it's come down. And the expenditure on CSR, and you know, it's not linear quarter on quarter. You know, whenever the projects come up, we do the spending because of more expenditure on CSR and due to lesser number of well write-offs, this has come down.
So, sir, any indication you can give us for the fourth quarter in terms of well write-offs? Like, you know, how's that?
That would be an impossible task. Nobody will be able to give it to you. I would be gazing at the crystal ball if I do that.
Understood, sir. So, I mean, I just wanted to understand if, like, you know, if we have written off most of the wealth that we could write off for the year.
No, it did not have to obviously shown in the books. I have not hide it.
Okay. And sir, secondly, my second question is with respect to the production guidance that you earlier shared, that we would be looking at more than 4 million ton of production and more than, like, you know, 4 BCM of gas production post FY25. So are we sticking to that target? And in that backdrop, there was a slight decline in gas production in this quarter. So any particular reason for decline in gas production?
Yeah. In fact, we are in line with the 4 million target. So our production year by year is going up. And by 25, definitely we'll be able to reach 4 million. And regarding your question for decline in gas production in this quarter, basically, as you know, that we have one of the major customers is the Tea Grid customers, so Tea Gardens in Assam and Arunachal Pradesh. So in that case, what happens, the demand is seasonal. So during this period, the Tea Gardens do not operate, and they do not pick up the gas. So accordingly, we have to cut down the production for this period. This is a common phenomenon in every year. This goes on. This is a cyclic sort of requirement. So that is the major reason why this production has gone up, gone down.
Thank you so much. That's all from my end.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Kirtan Mehta from BOB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for giving this opportunity. I have a question on the Numaligarh refinery. So if I look at the production throughput, it has increased from 614 million ton last year in Q3 to around 800 million ton this year. At the same point of time, GRM has also increased from $12.5 per barrel to $13.5 per barrel. But EBITDA is more or less flat or has seen a marginal decline to 1,122 crore. What is the reason which is sort of underpinning the reduction in the EBITDA despite the increase in throughput and margin?
This is largely due to the special excise duty that we imposed on the products, on diesel.
Basically, the Numaligarh is a diesel refinery, so anything on diesel actually
largely inputs the refinery, and the additional excise duty, additional special excise duty on diesel has impacted the EBITDA.
So the additional excise duty is not part of the gross refining margin, and it's actually below the cost line after the gross refining margin.
Yeah.
Okay. Understood. And the second question was about the sort of the target for 3.4 million ton and 3.3 BCM. So from this year to next year, which are the key projects which will help us underpin this additional production?
So basically, these are the new areas within our old areas. So we have been expediting our drilling activities in those areas. Under Mission 4 Plus, we have accelerated the drilling program. So accordingly, we have identified 5 fields, and all those fields we have accelerated our drilling activity, and accordingly the production is going up. So this is the way we'll be achieving 4 million target by 25. And at the same time, we are also happy to announce that we have new discoveries within our old areas. Recently, we have some new discoveries in the name of Sesabi, that is within our field only. So these are the new things coming up. And with that, we are hoping that we'll be able to achieve more production in the coming days.
Right, sir. Would you be able to elaborate on the progress on the 5 key projects that we have identified and what are the basically stage that we are in towards the increase in production?
These are the old fields. We have 5 identified old fields, Bagzan, Balimara, Lakwa Gao, Kumsai, and one in Rajasthan. So these are the 5 fields where we have accelerated our drilling, and accordingly from each and every field the production figure is going up. So number of wells that drill corresponding to previous year, the number is more. So when we drill more development well, we get more oil. That is the way we are going up, and we have identified 70 wells to be drilled for our next year. So we hope that with that we'll be able to get more productions.
Could you repeat the number of wells that you said for the next year?
70 wells for the next year.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for this detailed answer.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sabri Hazarika from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir, and congratulations on a good set of numbers. So, I have few questions. First one pertains to your consolidated accounts, the share of profits from associates and JV. It was like at a positive run rate, so in Q3 it became negative. So, can you tell us details on which asset basically this negative numbers have come?
Yeah. Actually, what has happened, you see, in some of the assets that we have acquired overseas have not been able to perform as per our expectations when we acquired them. That is largely, say, the Santera asset in Nigeria, the Latin 61 asset in Russia. Now, these two assets have not been able to perform as per expectations. They're like, and these have not been the bright stars in our basket. So, due to this, there has been we have recorded some amount of loss in these assets because the production is on the downside, the expenditure is, some amount of expenditure is, operating expenses are still there. So this has led to a loss, and another small part of this loss is also due to the change in the dollar to ruble exchange rate, which is with the weakening of the ruble. So these three, the major factors being Latin 61 and Santera Nigeria, and to some extent the dollar exchange rate of ruble and USD.
Right, but the main Russian assets, they are performing normally, right? Vankor and TAS.
Perfectly fine. The production is there. The business is as usual there.
Okay, and any, what is the, I mean, pending dividend right now since, or are you able to like repatriate that?
See, the amount that is there in OIPL is about $165 million, which is there in at the Singapore level. At a Singapore level, we have got about $175 million.
$175 million, okay.
Dollars at the Singapore level. And at the Russian level, we have got about $533 total. All share is about $178 in VIPL and about $200 in TIPL at the Russian level.
Okay, so Russian level $200 million is pending and pending to be delivered, and
right.
And $175 million is pending to be delivered to Singapore, right?
Yeah, about 170 and 250. All share, but and all share at the Russian level is $56 million and $84 million. Say both together, it's for the $120 million odd.
Okay. Okay, sir.
Okay. I have made myself clear. At the Russian level, it is about $120 million.
Russian level $120 million and Singapore level $175 million.
Yes.
Okay. And when is it expected? Any headway in terms of payment channels, or do you think that it can?
We haven't had the board meeting right now. We're expecting a board meeting in the first week of March or so. Once the board meetings are there, when all the partners decide, something should be coming in the next month.
Okay. So, second question pertains to your it was like asked before also, but just wanted to know more specifically your sundry expenses in particular. So that number has actually changed significantly. So it used to be like, YOY it has not changed much, but QOQ if we see, so it has gone up significantly it was like around 64 crore in Q3 FY22. Then it went up to 350 crore kind of run rate during Q4 to Q2 23. Now again it has fallen to around 100 crore. So what is the reason behind that? It is just CSR or is there any other heads also? Yeah.
Actually, you see, if you go through our financial statements,
yeah,
this other expenditure, although as per the national head, we have to put all expenses on other expenditure. Okay.
Right.
So this is not sundry expenses. This is actually all expenses.
Okay.
Okay. So which includes your well write offs, your exchange loss or gain, which will include your CSR activity. So all this together, and other expenses also includes your consumption of materials and contract costs. All right.
Okay, and I mean,
this is a natural head for other expenses. But yes, what has made the difference is that due to lesser bill write-offs this year, that has made the difference. And like you said, that it has jumped up over, if you compare over the last 5 years or 6 years maybe. That is because naturally, or because the bills are becoming expensive year on year, right? So when you write off a bill, that the expenses also becomes higher year on year.
Okay, and what was the forex loss this time versus Q2?
Forex loss this time is about 49 crores, and in Q2 it was about 290 crores.
290 crore versus 49 crore. Okay, sir. Okay, sir. And your provision was negative because of some Mizoram well write back, right?
Yeah, actually what happens, last year, what happens, we take provisions based on estimated basis. When the actual payments have been made, they came out to be lesser, so there's been right like this.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much and all the best. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. The next question is on the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning, and thank you very much for the call. When you talk about the special additional excise duty in Novaliga refinery, there is a difference in the excise duty in the P&L between consolidated and standalone, about 700 crores. So is that the amount of special additional excise duty attributable to Novaliga refineries?
Yes, it is.
So in terms of this additional excise duty, it looks like the oil marketing companies are levying this additional excise duty on the refinery transfer pricing for all the standalone refiners, irrespective of whether it is exported. Because this additional excise duty was meant on exports. So we'd like to understand the thought process under which this is being done, and what are the standalone refineries doing in terms of, you know, addressing this issue, because it kind of vitiates the, you know, the refining business, contrary to the spirit of that duty which the government had imposed on exports. So can you share your thoughts and the thinking of the industry and what's exactly happening there?
What's happening is that the marketing company is directing the amount of paying to the refineries.
Okay.
And the issue is that, see, being a PSU in a country like India, which is 80% oil dependent on imports, I think it's a fair deal that when the prices are high, some part is passed on to the consumer, right? Some mechanism is worked out. It's like in the way the mechanism worked out for the upstream companies is that we are getting a net realization of around $75. So it is being moderated. That is moderated on a fortnightly basis by the change in the SPCD. And one thing is very clear that there's been no aberration on that. If you just follow what has happened from July onwards, you will see what is left on the table for the special companies around $75. It's not just gone up dramatically from there, not gone down dramatically from there. So it's the range bound. It is predictable, and that's what's been happening.
Okay. The next thought is, in your pipeline business, you have a capital allocation of 1,500 crores on the asset side, but the earnings are not measuring up to the expected return. When do you see that achieving a normalized return? But why is the return so low there?
What has happened, we are in the process of signing the contract for transportation. The negotiations went on for a long time because we had a huge investment in the pipeline expansion and modernization. Because this pipeline is very old, you see, we had to modernize it totally. Total revamp had to be done. So the expenditure has been made from our end. Now, since these are all done on a cost plus basis, so the negotiations are all with the refinery, and we are on the verge of signing the contracts for the same. Once that is in place, income from transportation would show a considerable change. And what has happened prospectively, we have already, for reverse pumping, the new rates have already been applied, And soon you'll see that the income from transportation is going to go up.
Okay. So finally, if you can share some thoughts on whether there is any loss from the Indian JVs in your share of JVs, and how is your HP Oil CGD JV progressing?
HP Oil JV is progressing well. The on both the fronts in Kolhapur as well as your Kurukshetra Ambala, and the progress is as per the plan, and a large number of CNG stations have also come up in both the GAs. And in Kurukshetra Ambala, we have been able to deliver to the households also. And in Kolhapur, delivery to the hospitals have started, and commercial delivery of pipe gas is also starting in Kolhapur.
Another JV, that is in Assam, Purva Bharati Gas Limited, they also, we have started some CNG stations in Assam, and the Assam government of Assam is now running 100 city buses on CNG. So this is one achievement in that front.
So if you look ahead, say 3 to 4 years or 5 years from now, what is the kind of revenue and EBITDA or PAT you can expect from these city gas JVs?
You see, this is a tough one because this is all dependent on what kind of gas prices rule, national gas prices rule. You know, once the investments are done, we have to really take a half because it's an open market. It all depends on what the next GA is doing. This open market is competitive. So, you know, right now, till we have actually made the investments, we know what kind of a business we have built up, what kind of consumer, how many consumers we have. That will be difficult. It's a little premature to comment on that right now.
Okay. And on the JV share, can you comment? Because there is a Brahmaputra cracker, which I think possibly is under pressure. So, other than the African entities you mentioned, is there any loss from any Indian JV or associate, including Brahmaputra cracker, the share of JVs?
No,
nobody has recorded loss.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Wish you all the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikas Jain from CLSA. Please go ahead. Vikas, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead. The line for the current participant has dropped off. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Vishnu Kumar from Spark Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Vishnu Kumar, your line is in the talk mode. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, sir. So my question is on the GAIL network, the pipelines. When do we expect that over the next couple of years, when do we see that GAIL will connect into our gas network? Is that likely to happen and you see any timeline there?
See, this whole networking is going to be through IGGL, which is progressing as per schedule. So once the grid is in place, the IGGL grid is in place, then the gas business is really going to boom in the northeast region, specifically in Assam. So they have the target, I think, by 25-26.
By end of 23, there will be
some amount will be completed. So maybe by end of 23, early 24, the business will take off. And full fledged in another year's time, maybe, after that.
As of now, the progress is
more than the targets. Sorry.
So in about 12 months from now, we should have the line connected with our network.
Expecting not full-fledged, but to some extent, yes, definitely.
Slightly medium-term question. Earlier you used to mention that there are not enough off-takers, so our production ability on gas is kind of capped because of that. Now that this line is going to come up, and currently if you see a lot of gas is going to be ferried all the way from Petronet Dahej to get into the, let's say, UP, West Bengal, or whenever the LNG terminal comes on the eastern coast, then probably will come. But will we have the ability to produce far bigger volumes and supply into the into the central part of the country? And is that possible? Is there any plan on this side? Let's say in the next 4-5 years, do we see we can step up gas production materially? Is that possible?
Yes, you are right. Once the grid is in place, so definitely we will be able to add more gas to the grid. So that is the plan as of now. So once the lines are actually ready, then we will be able to, because it has to go up to the northeast, remotest corner, because our production is from the extreme northeast near Arunachal Pradesh. But the present grid is going through the central part of Assam. So it has to be extended a little bit more. Then only we will to directly connect our production to the grid. So there is some, there will be some gap. As we have said that the first part of the line will be by end of next year, by mid of next year. But the remaining part where we have to connect to our grid, our main production producing area, that will take some time. So once those are in place, definitely we will be in a better set. We will be able to produce more. And in fact, considering that also, we have taken up some infrastructural projects so that we can produce more gas in that area.
So when can we connect into the network, or rather, as you said, from Arunachal Pradesh, if we need to move all the way to Assam, when can we complete the line?
One line is under construction, so it will be completed by end of 24. So by that, we'll be able to get the gas produced in Arunachal Pradesh into Assam.
The distance is not much. I mean, Arunachal and Assam are different, we're talking in terms of 100 kilometers.
Yes, 53 kilometers.
53 kilometers. Yeah, so but distance are not huge.
Problem is that it is a fully forest area. We have to take lots of permissions. Then the other part is thickly populated. So all those areas are having some constraints, and there are some very tough rivers where we have to cross. So these are the hurdles there. So though the line length seems to be very small, but because of those hurdles and getting approval and walking inside the forest area is a difficult job. So that is why it is taking time.
Understood, sir. So understood on the problems that you mentioned. Let's say if, 2-3 years down the lane, if you're able to complete the pipeline, how much incremental production can be available, provided that these lines and the evacuation capacity, assuming it comes through, what can be the production technically that you can take out, which you kind of have not done it?
We are expecting, as you know, that we have a very ambitious target of production of gas, like 5 BCM. So once we achieve that, definitely we will be able to achieve that. Because all these are interconnected. I cannot produce gas unless and until I have these infrastructures. Though the fields are capable, but we are not being able to produce because of these infrastructure issues.
Understood. So does this mean that you can just about, you'll have to additionally drill more wells and you can quickly bring it up? Or does you need further large-scale investment to go from where you are to this 5 BCA?
Yes.
We won't need very large investment.
Very large. This is not very large. Some of the infrastructure are always in place. But the pipelines, these are the difficult jobs to do. The investment is not that big large, but the job execution is difficult. That is the main issue.
I think more in terms of the production capability. Let's say if the pipeline comes through, I understand the problems that you highlighted, but if the pipeline comes through to increase production, is it going to be more straightforward where existing fields we just drill additional wells and bring production?
It won't be projectized as another project out getting more gas. In natural course of business, the gas will come.
Those projects are already in place.
Other things are in place. You just drill the wells and the gas comes up. In the natural course of business.
Got it. My second question is with this Kirit Park Committee report. Any thoughts on it, and when do you expect the numbers to come? And one more point is that the global indices are now coming down. So anything that your side you have recommended to the government, that given that the indices are coming down in the next 12 months, anyways prices are going to come down. So do we see a change in the thought process, or broadly your thoughts? We want to hear on what is your stand on this and what is going to happen.
Actually, the recommendation that, like we all know, of the committee has been put forth, and the government has not yet come out with a how far the recommendations are going to be implemented. As and when implemented, we will come to know. As of now, there is no clear indication as to how much of the report is going to be accepted or which way it is going to go. And the international prices are coming down on gas, yes. But then still they are much higher than what they were about, say, 6 months to 9 months back, right? The prices that we're looking forward, the forward prices are definitely higher than the trailing 9 months prices.
Understood. When do you see the final notification to be coming out, sir?
that is really a very tough one. We don't really know.
Got it, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Vikas Jain from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I wanted to check on dividends. Firstly, on NRL, have we received any dividends so far, or is it something which comes out in the fourth quarter typically?
Up to now, we have received in excess of 750 crores.
Sorry, how much?
750 plus.
Okay, and is the trend that, I mean, they have an interim or something which comes out in the fourth quarter in terms of when we get it?
They've given two dividends up to now. One they gave at the end of the first quarter.
Which was the final dividend. Okay.
The final dividend. Last year's final dividend came, and now we have got, up to now we have got 760 crores.
Okay, and 760 crore which you have got, which is already a part of the 3Q number, you're saying?
Yes, QC numbers, right.
Okay.
QC numbers. Q3
numbers, right?
Q2.
Q2. So Q1 and Q2 has the NRL dividends, you say?
Yeah.
And the other thing was our own dividend payout. So far, as a payout perspective, given that the EPS that we've been able to do is about $46 in the first 9 months, the payout is about 30% or so. By the time we end the fiscal, is it likely to be typically what it has been, around the 50% kind of a range? Should we expect it to be that? I mean, when
I can't give a straight answer to that, but you've been seeing the trends earlier, and you can make your assessment from that, right?
Yeah. Okay.
It's not wrong fair for me to give a straight answer to that, right?
Well, sure. But I mean, so 50% kind of a number is what we have seen historically as a practice.
We are likely to follow the historical practices.
Yeah. Okay.
Because that will depend on the DIPAM guidelines. Because the DIPAM guidelines 30% and 90% to be paid in the third quarter. So that will be met in any which way. And then there might be something in excess of that as well. Okay. We expect to pay in excess of the 30%.
Sure. Absolutely. That's what makes sense. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Naresh Kataria from Money Curves Investment. Please go ahead.
Thank you for hosting the call, sir. My question is on the Numaligarh refinery, where we are expanding from 3 to 9 million. Numaligarh is expanding. Does it have linkage for crude and also to evacuate the refined products? So are there pipelines, and also is crude available in the vicinity of the...
crude is not available in the vicinity. They don't import it from Paradeep. And as far as the evacuation is concerned, it is largely going to be, some part is going to be through the product pipeline, which is being expanded by Oil India. And another is mode of transportation is going to be, under PM's Gati Shakti program, there's a multimodal transport which is coming up in Jogi Gopa. From there, through the waterways, it will be exporting to Bangladesh, as well as exported to Bhutan and Nepal and Myanmar.
Perfect. Thank you. Now, my second question is on the realizations. I'm sorry if this question was asked. I joined 10 minutes late. So we have realized $88 for this quarter. And I believe the windfall tax was kind of working towards $75, $78. So is there something exceptional we have done to generate $88? We have $88.37 as realization for crude in Q3.
Q3 this is before 9 months is $100 before the windfall tax, and in Q3 $88 before the windfall tax.
Yeah, before. Oh. Okay. 88 is before.
I want to be coming to 100 with my 100 is for the 9 months.
Perfect. Sorry. Then I stand corrected. Thank you. I'm done. Thanks a lot for that.
112 was in Q2, Q1. That means the average 100. Q1 was 112.
Got it. All right. Thank you, sir. That's appreciated.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vipul Saha from Sumangal Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for a very good set of numbers. So my question is regarding the expansion of Numaligarh refinery from 3 to 9. So excise duty will be benefit will be available for expanded capacity also.
Yes, that is the indication. Yes.
And sir, on your website, the financial analysis. So slide 5. So in Q1, Numaligarh refinery gross refining margin is 13.39, and in Q2 and Q3 they are 13.84 and 13.48. So can you explain how it works, sir?
Because if you see the Singapore GRM in the first quarter, there was a huge jump in the Singapore GRM, and as a result of that, the GRM world over was very high. Now the GRMs have come down to normal levels, including the Singapore GRM. So this is following that trend.
And these figures are exclusive of the excise benefit, right, sir?
Yes, it's the exclusive excise benefit, yes.
Okay, and sir, any cost or any provision for the last year's fire at our gas field, can we expect any cost in subsequent quarters?
Nothing as of now. There is no indication as of now. Because we already provided, year before last, we provided on 450 crores, 449 crores for Bagchan. And that we feel is all that we need to provide for as we speak.
So that field has started production, sir?
Yes.
And gas production is coming from that field only. So we have drilled number of wells in that area. And the production is mostly gaining, our gas production is from that area only. So this field is fully operative as of now. Nothing to be worried.
Okay, sir. Thank you and all the best for the future.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello, this is Ramesh here again.
Hi.
So, if you can, shed some light on how you see the returns from the refinery expansion in Numaligarh and what kind of underlying assumptions you're making on the margins.
With a threefold increase in production capacities, obviously we expect the margins and the profitability to go up in the same ratio.
Okay. And if you look at your supply of gas to Brahmaputra cracker, they are getting a feedstock subsidy. So, is there any negative impact on your P&L because of the subsidy being offered for Brahmaputra petrochemical?
No. That has been taken up totally separately. It doesn't affect our profitability. In fact, it adds to your profitability. We get more dividend because their profits go up because of that.
Similarly, if you're looking at your investments in oil and gas exploration and production, what is the kind of reserve accretion you have seen this year? And if you had to assume the current oil prices, what is the return on capital employed you can generate on the additional investments you're making on increasing the production in oil and gas?
See, our accretion has consistently been in excess of 1 over the years, and we continue to have that kind of accretion.
Exactly.
Okay, and what was the other part of the question?
So in terms of the investments you are making in expanding oil and gas production, assuming you know current level of oil prices and the gas prices, what the kind of return on capital you would expect from these investments?
We'll be in a much better position to give you a proper reply to this question once we know the results of the huge investments we are making in OLPs. Once the OLP fields show the results and we strike oil in one or two areas, then the return capital is going to be humongous.
Okay, thank you very much and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Somaya V from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. First question is on the debt number, the 17,500 crore number that we said. Can we just have a breakup? What is it that the standalone entity?
Can you speak a little louder? Your voice is very faint.
Yes, sir. Am I audible now, sir?
You're perfect, you know.
Yeah. I was looking for that debt breakup, the 17,500 crore number. So just looking for what is the standalone number, what is it at NRL, if any, and then the international assets.
$17,800.
So, what would be the NRL level debt?
NRL level debt. 2,300.
Got it. So, the NRL expansion, the expansion capex of 28,900 crores, what we plan to spend, how much has been spent so far? How much so far has been our equity contribution? How much is, NRL, from NRL it is?
Contribution has not yet been made and around, what 20% not has been spent? About 8,000 crores has been spent up to now. Out of the 28,000 was one.
And this has majorly come from NRL, not much of equity contribution.
Not much of equity. This is all debt. And Intel accruals. Large Intel accruals of NRL.
2,300 is on it. So, office, if I understand it right, so far 8,000 crores has been spent and it's by and large by NRL and which includes 3,300 of debt, rest by internal accruals of NRL.
Right, spot on.
Got it. Sir, and what is the trajectory here, sir? I mean, how do we plan for the next couple of years in terms of this expansion capex?
The expansion is expected to be completed by 24-25 and as the progress is going as per plan. So we are full confident that it would be operational by 25 fiscal.
Okay, got it. So, and this NRL payouts that we got in the first half, this is after factoring the expansion capex. So what is our expectation of NRL payouts in the next couple of years? Given that they have the expansion capex to be done, so.
Right. So there might be a dip in the NRL capex, but the fact remains that we are expecting much better dividends from IOC in the forthcoming year. IOC has, the dividend has been lower, right? So in total terms, the dividend received from these companies should be in that overall the range will be maintained, I feel.
Okay, got it. And the 750 crores that we received in the first half from NRL, so that payout ratio is more or less in line with what we have been getting in the previous years, or there is a slight dip because of this expansion?
More or less in the same range.
Okay, so one final question. What would be NRL's maintenance capex at current capacity?
Sorry?
NRL maintenance capex at current capacity?
That figure, we don't have that figure right now. We can get back to you. Just note down. We'll get back to you on this one. But we don't have the figure right now. Okay, sure. we'll send across the figure. Then my team is noting it down, we'll send it across to you.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kirtan Mehta from...
Maybe this will be the last question, please.
Sure, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be taking the last question. That is from the line of Kirtan Mehta from BOB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thanks for giving me one more opportunity. You just mentioned that there is a 450 crore provided on the Baghjan field, but note number 8 refers to sort of the additional assessment of around 1200 crore of loss by the committee set by the Supreme Court. And the matter has been sort of referred back to the National Green Tribunal. So what do we expect about this additional sort of a cost of 1200 crores? Do we contest this or are we in line with it?
No. The fact remains that if we would be accepting it, it would be a provision or a contingent liability, right? It is neither a provision nor a contingent liability. So obviously we are accepting it is evident from the from our financial statements.
As of now, so we are not in agreement with the way the Supreme Court committee has set up the costs. And what are our key objections against this? Would you be able to share more color around
our that? Objection is that whatever compensation was to be paid has been already paid by us, and whatever bioremedial measures had to be done, because this case is about 2 years old. These 2 years we have worked very hard on that area, and we have taken up multiple projects for the bioremediation there, and as a result of that we feel that it has gone back, the flora and the fauna is back in its original state as we speak.
Right, sir. Thanks for this clarification.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the last question. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Reena Shah for a closing comments.
On behalf of Elara Capital, I would like to thank management and participants for joining this call. I would like to hand over the call to management for the closing remarks.
Yeah, thank you very much for your very active participation. So hope that we'll be continuing our journey in this way and we'll be getting more and more profit in the coming days. This is the expectation. Our production is also going up. We are expecting the product with the production, total profit figure will also go up in the coming days. And we need your all cooperation all the time. Thank you, Elara Capital, for organizing this investors conference today. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, members of the management team. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Elara Securities Private Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.